Let me say I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate your hospitality. I appreciate the food. I appreciate your care. I appreciate I was able to go to first in line as well. I like that. I like that. Well, I can walk good, really, but, you know, it gets me. And, but I did find out this a long time ago. I thought that this thing of chivalry or just good manners or just being hospitable was almost a thing of the past. But I found out there still are some good people in this world. They are some good people in this world. I was in Western Sizzler some years ago, and I was rolling my wife out to put her in the car. I believe I was walking her out that time. And a young girl, was a family outside waiting to go in, waiting to be served. I imagine waiting on somebody to meet them there to go in. And this little girl, she just backed up to that door and opened that door for me and held that door for me. And all those adults out there, that little girl took care of me and opened that door for me.
Yeah.
And I went out and put my wife in the car and came back in. By that time, they were already in and they were in line. And her mom was up there at the checkout counter. And I slipped a bill in her hand. And I said, I want you to thank you for opening that door for me. And when I turned her back and started to walk off, I heard her say to her mama, Mama, it's a 10. It's a $10 bill. And I told my wife when I got back in the car, I guarantee that girl will be holding the door for a long time for folks. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, you didn't tip me today. But I have tipped a lot of folks since then just because of the hospitality. But since my wife has been in a wheelchair, rarely ever do I ever open a door again going into a business. Seems like somebody will either come out, open it for me. They are still some good people in this world. And I just thank God for it. And I thank God for your hospitality around here. And I thank God for just being so gracious to us and so good to us. First chapter, 1 Peter, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you. And peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope. I've got that circling red, a lively hope.
Amen.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept by the power, now listen to this, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. For in ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. But the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom have you not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Let me go on record tonight and say that God does honor your faith.
Amen.
Now you say, well, I don't have much faith. Well, I tell you, God honors what you got.
Amen.
God does honor faith. And I want you to understand that. Now, I've seen a lot of things tonight that I really enjoy. I enjoy seeing y'all run.
Amen.
It helps me.
Amen.
These new versions of the Bible come out where it says, my cup is filled to the brim. Well, that don't help me much. But I'll tell you, when it starts running over, it kind of helps me a little bit.
Amen.
There's a difference in a cup filled to the brim, those so-called Bibles.
Amen.
But I'm glad the King James Bible says, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
I'll tell you, there's times, I told you during a test one time today, I've still got some hesitance about my introvertedness, I guess, bashfulness. In fact, I felt like God was, when he dealt with me about preaching, I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown. I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. 36 years of age, three children, not great education. How could God, working 46 hours a week? But I'll tell you, something happened to me when I got on my knees before a holy God. I guarantee you something happened to me that hadn't happened before. I've heard a lot of people talk about it, but I think my whole life transformed. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy being in a pulpit. I'm at home in a pulpit. I enjoy where I'm doing it, where you're doing it. I'd rather do it. Are you listening to me? I tell you, these preachers get up here and say, well, I tell you now, I want to tell you something now. I'm not prepared to preach tonight. I don't know why they called me to preach tonight. I really rather somebody else preach. I've often want to say, hey, sit down. Let me preach. I want to preach. Huh? You say, well, that's, you're on an ego trip. No, I'll tell you something. God's given me something to say. When I was backward, bashful, introverted, God finally gave me something to say. Say amen. I enjoy talking about God. I enjoy. By the way, God, let me just go ahead and reframe this and go and let you know. Been working with Winn-Dixie food stores for 23 years there in South Carolina. I tell you, God, I live to tell you something. I went past out of school for 10 or 12 years at that time. Went back longer than that, about 15 years. Been out of school, and I was able to pass the GED and got my high school education through GED. I found out that North Greenwood College Fair, which is North Greenwood University, bought Drones Business College out of the mall down there and started night classes. I felt like God did that just for me. For four years then, I went to work at 8:15, got up at 5:15, had to be at college at 6:15, got at 10:15, three kids, 36 years of age, working 46 hours a week. I'll tell you, God helped me. My wife helped raise those kids and took care of that household while I was in school. I'll tell you, God's been good to us, old preacher. And then out of that, I moved and sold my house, sold a refrigerator, sold all my heavy appliances, moved to Memphis, Tennessee, and I went to Mid-America Baptist. I was Southern Baptist at that time. Went to Mid-America Baptist Village to a seminary and graduated there in 1980. This ring don't mean much to anybody else, but it sure do me. Then I taught at a Bible college for 10 years. I taught at a Bible college for 10 years. And after that, they bestowed a doctorate on me. I'm Dr. Calvert tonight. Say amen. Somebody say amen right there. A backward, introverted, a bashful fella. I'll tell you something. If God's called you, if God's heart dealing you about the ministry, I'll tell you right now, He'll equip you for it. And that don't mean everybody's got to have an education, but I'll tell you right now, I'm so glad that God took me and changed me and molded me and moved me in a position that I know that God's on the throne. Man, priest, God took something and made something out of it. Took and dumped and made something out of it. Well, I tell you, look at a young man right here, I may not mean much to you, but I tell you, in God's kingdom, I tell you, God loves me. God, I am one of God's children. I'm getting out in a few minutes. I am one of God's children. But I think we ought to rejoice in God. I think we ought to be the most excited folks you are on the face of this earth. You say you don't look too excited at times. I may not, but on the inside, I'll tell you right now, my cup was running over a few minutes ago. Y'all say amen at that. I'm telling you, God is so real. And I'll tell you something, you're a very fortunate people tonight that's got a shout in you. You're a very fortunate people tonight that's got a joy in your soul. Are y'all listening to me? You're a very fortunate, because can I say right now, not a lot of folks tonight have what you've got. Not a lot of folks are rejoicing in God tonight. Are you listening to me? I tell you, I don't see too much victory in our churches. I don't see too much shouting and getting excited about the things of God. I don't see too much of that more. You're there, very fortunate folks. Very few have experienced what you experienced here tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? This old preacher today, he was talking about the abundant life, how we are to realize that we have the abundant life. That we ought to have the joy of God in our soul. I'll tell you right now, He's given us a joy. The Bible says it's unspeakable. But you understand there's no words in the English vocabulary or any vocabulary that can explain the joy of Almighty God. Can I tell you this? Here I am. I've been sick. Now, let me say, I thank you for your prayers as well. I'm not the healthiest fella, but I'm not the youngest fella as well. But understand this, my wife's back there. I've been sick now for 5 years or 6 years, somewhere thereabout. And I'll tell you right now, God's been good to me, but trip's been hard. But I'm going to tell you right now, the joy of God will flood your soul even in the midst of a storm and hardship, persecution, and affliction. I'll tell you, happenings. And I'm not happy tonight, you understand? I got a joy of God in my soul. Happiness is based upon happenings. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm sad, sometimes I'm up, and sometimes I'm down. Can I tell you, now I'm going to get a set ahead of myself, we'll be right here. I told my church family the other day, whenever we have a hugging time, I said, would you grab me and hug me hard? I sure need it right now. Yeah. Amen. I'll tell you, we ought to realize, I'll tell you, understand, it don't matter how hard things get, don't matter how tough things get, I don't care what about the persecution and the affliction, thank God, there's a joy of God that God gives you. It's not anything based on how things happen, don't base on how things are going, thank you, and God's joy is of the Lord.
Yeah.
That comes from God. When you get Christ in your heart, understand this. Are y'all listening to me? I'll tell you, God gives you a joy of God. You can rejoice when things are going bad. Can I tell you there's some secrets? He talked about the steps last night. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got no 1, 2, 3. Well, I got a 1, 2, 3, but I ain't got no steps. But I will tell you this. If you'll recognize this book, accept the fact of this Bible right here, that this literally is a holy word. It's God's word. I'll tell you right now, it'll help you to have a joy in your soul. You say, preacher, I want the joy of God to flood my soul. I'll tell you, get this book right here. Believe this book. 66 books. The word Bible itself means books, library. 66 books.
Amen.
39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. You take a 3, so I can't remember how many it was in the New Testament. Just remember it's 39 in the Old Testament. Take a 3, multiply it times 9, gives you 27. There's numbers in the New Testament. 39, 27, total 66 books written over a period of some 1,500 years, they say. You know, I don't know this, but the historians tell you written over a period of 1,500 years, somewhere about, written over with approximately 40 writers. And can I tell you this? Out of those 40 writers, nobody contradicted anybody else. Come on, are you listening to me? I'm talking about. When I was in school, a professor got up there and said, I'll tell you right now, I don't believe Genesis' account. I don't believe the first 9 chapters of Genesis. I think it's a storytelling. I think it's just a story. I'll tell you right now, I believe all 66 books. I believe every word of this book. You want to have joy in God to flood your soul? You get in this book right here. Believe the Scriptures. Accept the fact of the Scriptures. And I'll tell you right now, you can't separate God from His Word. Preacher in South Carolina preached out in Texas one time. He preached that God and God's Word are not synonymous. In other words, not the same. And he said, I'll tell you right now, let me tell you something. You can't separate God from His Word, and you can't separate God's Word from God. They are. Let me tell you, that's why we call it a living Bible. In the Old Testament, they walked and God talked to them. Then after a while, they started pinning it down.
Yeah.
And God talked to us through the penned word.
Right.
Then Jesus came on the scene, and He walked the word.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
You do understand? I'm going to tell you something else. The apostles and all of them can understand this. You understand this? They were literally walking the word. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about those men. You understand what Paul did? It was written down by Paul. Where Paul went, it was written down about Paul. What Peter did, it was written down about Peter. You understand? They was walking the Scriptures. I got saved some 40 years ago, somewhere thereabout. I got saved, and I'll tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God moved in my soul, and all of a sudden, a dead book. Black ink, white paper, started walking off these pages right here, started walking my heart, and all of a sudden I started walking the Scriptures. Hey! You say, well, I don't know where you get that mess. And I tell you, the Bible says we have written epistles read of all men. The world out there doesn't know what a Christian is. You're showing them what a Christian is. And Acts where it says, and we're first called Christians at Antioch. Understand this. They didn't go over and say, hey, we're Christians. They didn't go over and say, the Christians have showed up. No, they went over. And it's about five or six things in the context. It says there were men of boldness, full of power, full of faith. Just keeps on talking about them. Can I tell you something else? Those men recognize these men must be Christians. And that's what our life is supposed to do. Our life is to be. We sing that song. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Can I tell you something? He's not in a pulpit. He's not in a piano as much as I enjoy that piano player. But it's in you. And the only way we can manifest a sweet spirit is when you're sweet. Come on. The only way that the Spirit of God is manifest in this place is you. Let Him be known. Y'all say amen right there. Are you listening to me? Digest this book. You will have joy of God in your soul, except the fact of the Scriptures, they are of God. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
You. We got a new museum there in Wynn, Arkansas. They got a tooth. I don't know what kind of tooth it is. They got a tooth there. And they said it's 2 million years old. Only thing about that, it's just too old. They're just that too much wrong. You say you believe that? Yes, I do. I believe creation took place in literally 6 days as God said it. And not on that, but I can tell you something else. I believe it's a literal 24-hour day. And I believe it's 24-hour day, 7 to 6 days, literally, are you listening to me? Consecutive days. I don't think it's 1,000 years between one day and the next day. I don't think it's 1,000,000 years between the first day and the second day. I don't believe the first day was 1,000 years. No. I believe it's a literal 24-hour day. Consecutive days. You said, but you're narrow. It's all right. I got the joy of God in my soul. Are you listening to me? And by the way, you won't see a doctor. I want to make sure I clean that mess up. But I talk about, you know, I'm going to talk about myself. You won't see a doctor. You won't see a doctor nowhere. Because it's just bestowed on me. But you won't see it on my checkbook. You won't see it. The only place you'll find is in my study. I got it on the wall. And when they call me lunatic and say you're crazy, I go back and say, I'm not a neighbor. I'm a doctor. Oh, he done gone off a deep end. No, I've not went deep enough yet.
Amen.
Y'all say amen. Amen. And let me go tell you something. They said, "What? How can you explain? How can you explain the tree with all those circles?" God, I believe when they cut the tree down, buried the Garden of Eden, I believe it had age rings in it. But God put the age rings in it when He made the tree. So that rock's 20 million years old. It might be to some of y'all folks, but I'll tell you, God just put 20 million years in it. When He made it. Come on. I don't believe Adam crawled on the floor, crawled into bushes. I believe he was of, I must put him at Christ's age. We don't even know that, but you know, we ponder that. I believe he's a grown man. Y'all believe that? Except the fact of the Scriptures. I believe them all. And it bears witness of one God. Now, y'all can listen to Oprah Winfrey if you want to and think there's many gods and many ways and many. Nah. One God. Y'all believe that? And by the way, I don't even believe anybody on Mars and on other planets. I believe it's just one. And by the way, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. That he's God over all. Jews, Greek, black, white, red, yellow. One God and His Lord over all. The Bible says that. Are you listening? The Bible says one Lord over all. Y'all believe that? Well, you better if you're going to have a joy of God in your soul. Because I tell you, you're going to have to accept the fact of the Scriptures. My faith, by the way, is based upon the fact of the Scriptures. Are you listening to me? The very faith that I exercise in God is a fact. This from the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My faith is even based upon the Scriptures. Are you listening to me? It's not only one God, but one continuous story. Somebody said, well, I think it says one thing to you and another thing to me. It don't. It says one thing. You may interpret it according to how you feel. Sad, lost a loved one. God will speak to your heart in a way, but maybe He wouldn't speak to me going through other trials. But it still says one thing. The Spirit of God would take that word and manifest it to meet the need of your heart at the time that you're going through. One continuous story. One God. One plan of salvation. Y'all wouldn't listen to Oprah Winfrey. No, don't do it. Don't listen to her. She's crazy. All right. And there's one central theme in this Bible. One central theme. You see, you sound like you believe this Bible. I really do. I believe in this Bible to the fact that I've given my life to what I believe in it. And I've also given my wife her life, what I believe in it. I have also taught that to my children, believing that it's right to the point that I want them to live that Bible. I've preached to my grandchildren as well. This Bible is the only book. It's the only Bible. It's one God, one central theme. Are you listening to me? Y'all believe that? Well, and it has one central theme. 40 writers, 1,600 years, approximately 1,600 years. Oh, and by the way, Jesus Christ over in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, he gave an outline of the Old Testament. Somebody says, my one professor in college said, you don't really believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, do you? I said, what did Jesus say?
Yeah.
When he refers to the law, he goes back to Moses today. Are you listening to me? You don't really believe that, do you? I said, I sure do. He said, but explain to me how he died within the confinement of those five books. I said, a lot of prophets wrote down things that never come true in their life. They died before we ever see it come out. They wrote about, they just put down what Jesus, what God said right, and they wrote it down. Do you really believe that? Yep, I really do. That professor said, don't you tell me we got another one like you in this class. That's what you sure do.
Amen.
Y'all believe Moses? Yeah, I do. You do.
Amen.
Jesus referred to the law. Jesus referred to Moses. Y'all say amen.
Yeah.
In fact, in Luke 24, verse 44, he gives an outline of the book. And it says, Moses, prophets, and the Psalms. Yes. Book of the law. History and prophets and the Psalms. He did that in Luke 24. So Jesus, he backed it up as well. Amen? The theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ, by the way. You can't get around it. The Bible says, search the Scriptures, for in them they speak of eternal life. Y'all believe that? If you're not careful, you'll be just exactly like me. You write it down. Right, come on. Are you with? Yeah. Not only that, but it's inspired of God. I totally believe it's inspired of God. Somebody said the other day that inspiration. And of course, we got scripture back for chapter of 2 Timothy, verses 15, somewhere there about, where it talks about all scripture is inspired of God. It tells it the context of all scripture. And I still believe. When you, the word all, I still believe it means all.
Amen.
Huh? I believe so. I believe all is all to me. I mean, I believe that. I believe it's what it says in the Greek. I believe it's what it said in Hebrew. I just believe it's all is all.
Amen.
Now you say, preacher, you really believe that? Yeah, I do.
Amen.
It's appointed that a man wants to die and have to have judgment. Y'all believe that? Yeah, I do. Christ died once and for all. In fact, I could tell you what scripture is. I didn't quote this here. I didn't say this here. This is part of a little outline I got. But the perfect God, and y'all do believe he's perfect. Perfect God produced a perfect word, which is the Bible. You hold in your hands. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Okay. The Bible says in the context over a third chapter of verse 15 or 16, somewhere it says that the man of God may be perfect. He said, preacher, you don't look like a perfect man to me. It doesn't matter. I'm a man. Now, some folks go around telling folks what a man looks like. I just walk around and show them what a man looks like. Come on. But the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Now, we understand what the word perfect. You know, we hear that. Well, no one's perfect except Jesus Christ. We can't even say that because the Bible said Job was perfect. God said that. God said about Asa, as your father was, so shall you be perfect. The Bible talks about Enoch, perfect. Abraham, perfect. So we can't use that word. Well, nobody was perfect except Jesus Christ. Better read your Bible. All through that says they were perfect. Now, we understand this. It was not perfect like Christ. It was just one. He was Lord. But understand this, I think our reverence and respect and faith is based upon a perfect man. Maturity. As you mature in the faith, the more perfect you become in the scriptures. Do y'all believe that? All right, so we got a perfect God producing a perfect word that produces a perfect man. And then you go over in Ephesians, the third chapter, that he gave some pastors, evangelists, and down the line to the church. For the what? For what? For the perfecting the saints. Perfect God in heaven produced a perfect word. But the man of God may be perfect. Fairly furnished, truly furnished, if how you want to say it. That the church of God may be one in unity, perfect. That's why. Y'all believe that? Amen. That goes beyond that, by the way. Because I believe God has a perfect will, perfect work. Y'all believe that? Amen. Talk about his missionaries, find the perfect will of God. If it's not, these guys have been lying to you tonight. There's a perfect will. You know there is. You know there is. That perfect will produce a perfect work that produces perfect peace. And you never have the peace of Almighty God until you get right the sinner's will. Come on. Are you listening to me? Yeah, y'all jot that down. Brother Blue, you can put that in a book. That's a good outline. Okay. All right. I've got two or three books to write already. Probably never will get a rope, but I ain't good. But that's not one of them. All right, there's seven facts about the inspired Word of God. It's infallible. I'm going to run through these right quick because my time's going. Infallible without error. And I got scripture for all this, by the way. And one thing about it, in teaching in Bible college, I told men, I said, I ain't going to make a turn in Pauline scriptures because I want to tell you more and I want to go real fast. And you can look them up later. But I will tell you this. If you're a pastor, whatever you preach from this pulpit, and you get to that door back there, and somebody asks you, preacher, where'd you get that? You better know where you got it. Y'all say amen right there. Are you listening to me? So the word is infallible. That means without error. It's invariable. If it will not change. It's inexorable. It's that you ain't going to absorb it. And preach. And it's invisible if it is without contrast. And it's invaluable in that it is without equal. Amen. And it will not fail. Amen. What it says it will do, it will do. You say, why do you believe? You believe that script? You believe that Bible? Yes, I do. You really believe that? I believe a lot of it because of what I've seen to take place up to this point. Why not would I not believe it's going to take place from here on out? Why not? If the Bible says that, I believe it. It convicts. It converts. It corrects. It cleanses. I'm going to get some cards made. Have you washed today? Amen. It comforts. And over in where is that at? Thessalonians, it says, and comfort one another with these words. It comforts as well. The family today, they probably heard that verse of Scripture. And comfort one another with these words. The Word of God, I tell you, it'll calm you down. It'll strengthen you in a time of need.
Amen.
It's a living book.
Amen.
And if you want to have a joy of God like we're talking about, accept the fact of the Scriptures. But the second thing is, accept the fact of the Savior.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Jesus Christ is a Son. He's a substance. He's a center. And He's the essence of this Bible. It's all in all about Him.
Amen.
He was there in the beginning. Thank be to God He'll be there in the end. Amen. And I'll tell you something else I like where it says, somebody read the other day, over there where it says, less out of all weights of this type of thing, win a race. You understand? I believe it's going to accomplish what it says it will do. I believe that. I've lost my chain of thought there. But what that individual preached the other day about the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the 11th chapter there. But I will tell you this. Whatever he says is what it's all about. You can take Buddha away from Buddhism. And you can take Mohammed away from Islam. And you can take Joseph Smith away from Mormonism. When it's all left and all done, you take those guys out. And both are dead, by the way. And have arisen, by the way.
Amen.
And you still got a belief.
Yeah.
But you take Jesus Christ out of the Bible. And there's no Christianity.
Amen.
He's all in all. He's all in all. He's all in all. But if we take Christ from Christianity, we have nothing.
Amen.
Jesus is the central theme of the figure in human history.
Yes.
He cannot be ignored. Do you understand this? Every atheist that says we don't believe in there's a God in heaven, you do understand every atheist believes every time he writes a check, he denotes the birth of Jesus Christ. And he puts a date on there. Even atheists recognize that Jesus Christ lived. Every time he writes a date on a check. Y'all say amen. Well, we won't get into that because time is flying. Jesus is heaven's bread for every hunger, earth's hunger. Jesus is the water for every thirst. And he's the light for every darkness and earth's darkness. And he's the beauty for earth's ugliness. He's the wisdom. And by the way, that's only you understand why many people are making mistakes and doing the things they are in our country today is because of lack of wisdom. Wisdom only comes from God as well. And I won't dwell on that, but I can tell you right now, you got a joy of God. I'll tell you right now, that's God-given that the lost man does not have. But I'll tell you, you got wisdom about you. I'll tell you right now. That's why I tell us, and I know we won't air right here, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's why I say, well, I don't think preachers in church ought to get involved in politics. Well, I've heard that. But I'll tell you, I can't understand it. You go to the barber shop, the man's going to tell you how to vote. You go to the lawyer, he's going to tell you who to vote for. You're going to have to use car lot, and the man's going to tell you who to vote for. You know I'm right. Now, I know I'm not the wisest man in towns, but I'm a wise man. And why would you not let the preacher tell you who's going to vote for? Come on. If the man of God is a wise man, you listen to the barber, the lawyer, the doctor, and everybody else, use car salesman. Why not believe a man of God that does have some little bit of wisdom of God about him? But they say, keep your mouth shut, preacher. You know what I'm telling them? Shut your mouth too. I didn't tell folks how to vote this past year. I had enough sense not to do that. But I told them who I wasn't going to vote for. They got a right to vote who they want to. I told them who I wasn't going to vote for. Are you listening to me? Y'all believe that? Yeah. The world does not. You say, what's going wrong with our world? The world does not have the wisdom of Almighty God. Any man like wisdom, ask of God. Wisdom comes from God. It's not something you learn in school. So that don't come with education, by the way. Wisdom's taught. And it's given to you by the Word of God. Given to you by God. I can tell you something else. You don't. The Bible says lost man has no peace. Thank be to God when I got saved and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior and I accepted the fact of my salvation. You understand, I accepted the peace of God as well.
Amen.
The Bible says there's no peace unto the wicked. The Bible says it. You wonder why people's in the world? I'm going to tell you something. You know why we're shooting up today? You know why they're doing that? My teeth almost fell out. You know why they're doing that? Because they're lacking something. And they're never going to be satisfied by that yearning. And they're going to be looking for something all the rest of their life. Until they receive a person of the Holy Spirit of God. Yearning for something to satisfy my thirst and yearning something to satisfy its own flesh and yearning. God never have that yearning fulfilled until he accepts Jesus Christ. And that's when the peace of God that passes all understanding moves in.
Amen.
You receive Christ, you receive peace.
Amen.
Peace like a river. I like it. And justification for earth's condemnation. And salvation for earth's damnation. And thank God, if you have a joy of God in your soul, you have to accept the fact of our salvation. And I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved. Let me tell you a little bit about what goes on with that. When I said a few minutes ago, when you men hug me tight. I need it. But can I tell you, I'm not alone. These missionaries need to be held tight. Can I tell you something? When I got saved and I accepted the fact of my salvation, I have fellowship with God the Father.
Amen.
And fellowship with God the Son.
Amen.
And fellowship with God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because I had no fellowship before salvation.
Amen.
Had no peace before salvation. Had no wisdom before salvation. Had no joy of God without salvation. Thank be unto God when I got saved. Thank be unto God. God said, I love you and you, my son.
Amen.
Join hands with Jesus Christ to the throne of Almighty God.
Amen.
And by the way, if you see it as a birth, wave God presents it over in where is it? First chapter of John. I'm going to tell you just at birth, you won't have to worry about this thing. Is it eternal or not? Is it everlasting or not? We made a mockery phrase, once saved, always saved. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm always saved.
Amen.
By the way, you know why we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? You know why we say it that way? Why don't we say God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father? Why don't we say God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father? Why don't we always say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Because anywhere you find in the Bible those three words, those three individuals in the same verse, you're going to find it God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to do it work right now on Peter's life. I was reading a text Sunday about he spoke to the multitude and his disciples. Multitude means a lot of them with different attitudes. But I'll tell you something. He spoke to them as well as his disciples. But anywhere you find Peter and James and John, it's always Peter, James, and John. It's always in it. It's never John, James, and Peter. It's always Peter, James, and John. I believe Peter had a special place. I know John did. Well, we'll talk about Peter later. But I'm glad I have fellowship with God the Father. I'm glad I got fellowship with the Son. I'm glad I got fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But what am I doing here this week? Drove right out 6 hours to get here. I did it. Sucked it. Hugged his old ugly fellow's head neck. And squeezed him out. And say, boy, good to see you again. Good to see you. God bless you. God bless you. Boy, I love you. Boy, God bless you. God bless you, son. God bless you, son. I love you. Amen, amen, amen. I'll tell you, God's so real. God is so real. And I'll tell you, he's manifest. He's manifest. He's manifest among the saints of Almighty God.
Yeah.
Where two or three are gathered, there I'm found in the midst also. Hey, hey, hey. He was here when you got here. He was here when I got here. But I was evidence that he was here when you got here.
Amen.
Y'all say amen.
Amen.
Do you need a hug tonight? I mean a real good hug. I guess so, God. I need one. Get up and hug me, I tell you. I tell you. I will break. I'll tell you, we need that fellowship one with another. I tell you, ladies, you need to come in here and don't go over yonder and sit down in one of yonder. Thank goodness God you go over and hug that person's neck. Are you listening to me? I'd hug you, but you're so ugly I can't. No. You know what that'd be? That'd be like ugly on ugly. Are you listening to me? Fellowship among the saints of my God. When I got saved, God the Father took me under his wing. God the Son. Woo!
Amen.
And the person of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
He walks with me.
Amen.
And talks with me.
Amen.
Along that narrow road. Yeah. But thank be unto God for the saints. That's why you ought to be at the house of God coming to work today. I needed this. That's why we travel. And I can tell you something else. It lets you know that you're not alone in the battle. We heard some victory sounds tonight in this place as we shout out. That's a sigh of victory. Yes, sir. And you have the ability to pray now. And you had not the ability to pray before you got saved. I didn't realize how important that was. And I know I got to go. Let's get on the elevator back to the hospital. A man sat over in the window. Wife went to the elevator. And I pushed that button. And she said, honey, come on. Talking to her husband. She said, we can't do her no good. We might as well get something to eat. There's nothing we can do. And I realized I was on the operating room floor and trying to battle a bit. I said, are y'all folks Christians? And both of them said, no. I said, what's taking place? They said, my 8-year-old daughter's having brain surgery. And he wasn't going to leave that floor. And I told him I'd pray with him. Wished I'd have done it right then. I failed. I didn't do it. But I got on the elevator going down. It made me thank God. But I have the ability to pray.
Amen.
And they didn't have it. God give us something when we got saved. But this world don't know anything about. But it'll comfort your heart. It'll give you the ability to reach a holy God tonight. And let him know your need. And tell him need. And thank God for prayer. Thank God for prayer. Thank God, I said again, thank God for prayer. Thank God for his peace. Thank God for his joy. Thank God for his wisdom. Just thank God that we have the peace of God. And then we have not only that, but thank be to God, it's not temporary life. Thank be to God, I got eternal life. And I don't know what that verse scripture is at. But it says something about you leave home and leave your mama and you leave your daddy and leave your brother and leave your sister. I'd have to look it up to find that verse, but it says, I'll give you brothers and I'll give you sisters and I'll give you children and I'll give you a house. And then he said, no, man, plus life everlasting. That's pretty good, folks. That's worth buying into. That's worth buying into. Not only you say, well, where did the children come from? Look at all y'all, which y'all give Brother Hall. I saw a choir for a while ago. You may have left somebody back yonder when you went into ministry, but thank goodness God gave you a bunch of them. That believes like you do, hug you when you need to be hugged, pray for you when you need to be prayed for.
Yeah.
Thank God the church is a praying church. Thank God. Say it again. Thank God for a praying church. I believe God will answer prayer. Thank God for praying for me. Thank God for praying for my wife. Thank God for a praying church. And then not only that, but if you want to have a joy of God in your soul, accept the fact the Lord's going to come again. It's not over yet. The bottom line's already been drawn, but it just hasn't been tallied up yet. He is coming again. And if you don't believe Paul believed it, read the last verses of Thessalonians. Everyone talk about it. His coming. Jesus believed it. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He would not, so I would tell you. I go prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. Before I am there, shall you be also. You know what he's saying? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in this person. And people also believe in this promise. Or this promise. I forget what help he is, but he's coming again, folks.
Amen.
He is coming. And I'll end with this one statement here. Why I think he's coming soon. You know why I think he's coming soon? God has allowed us to take his word and put anything in that thing and change it. Change it up. By the way, y'all, King James only. I picked the Bible up in the bookstore this week. It said King James Extra. And it says in there, some words changed and added for your better understanding. Now they're starting to mess with the King James Bible. And by the way, this lady came out with the first Wynn Baptist church there in my city. When Baptist preacher wrote everybody in his church a letter. It was a newsletter to a church. And a lady called me up and said, I think you need to read this, preacher. He says, as of this coming Sunday, I'll be no longer preaching out of the NIV, but I'll be preaching out of the today's English version, in which I find to be a better translation. The only thing wrong with that is, it meant there's something wrong with last week's.
Yeah.
If I got something better today than I had last week, what I had last week was a mess. Come on. You know why I believe it's coming? I believe it's already coming because God has allowed us to take his word and profane it. I believe he's let us touch his son and make him no more than mortal man. Because nowadays, I tell you, there seems to be no respect for Christ at all. They've made him no more than mortal man.
Right.
But I do believe that God's going to put his hand upon my next vault. He told me to take care of my wife, to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. It means that he has loved his church so much that Christ gave his life for it. And he tells me to do the same thing for my wife to the point of giving my life to her if necessary. And I don't believe he's going to take it very lightly. But people are slinging mud at the church now. The bride of Christ. You know what I believe? The church is being cussed, rejected, blasphemed, talked about like she's a dog. And I believe the Lord's going to say, go get your bride. Get her out of the mess. If he'll take care of me, if he'll tell me to take care of my wife, you can be sure he's going to take care of his son's bride. He's coming again. And he's promised you what a man talked about today, with the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad I got the joy, joy, joy. Let's do that. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in
where?
My heart. Down in my heart to stay.
Do you really mean it? Do you really mean it? We had time, we'll sing it about a couple more times. Love you, believe you. Come on.